session number 9013, reel 5.
Just what I wanted.
Yeah.
You got my training in, you see. And you didn't do any harm, not with the skipper and all the others. And I had the whole ship company, all free, on the quarter deck, doing the, on all the exercises. I was the first actual athletic coach in the Navy. Well, no other silly devil knew what to do anyway. So I did it. And I took officers as well. They didn't last very long. I think they thought it would be showing up. But they did well, don't you say, because some of them would be a bit creaky too, you know, you can almost hear the bones creaking. But anyway, they tried hard. And on that stunt on there, and this GFO went to call me up, so I stood up and I said, well, excuse me, Mr. President, because I'd been to, I knew the procedure, I'd been on other rackets. And the rackets, that's a good word, it covers all my sins. Because all my sins were rackets. I'm not sure of the title. I've only just arrived. Well, that made them think. Yeah, you should have heard the matlock. We're going to hear something else. But they always used to say about me, they used to call me the blue devil when I was drinking. I used to say, oh, what's that blue shorts, silk shorts, you see? What's that little blue devil? I could hear them all around me when I was running. Yeah. You never know what he's going to do. I didn't tell them, I didn't know myself, really. And they were all going to say, we're going to hear something, whether he wins or loses, it'd be worth listening to. I said, well, oh, that's the title. Well, I better repeat that, because I've had no time to think about this. Is drink detrimental to sport? Well, one would think on the face of it, it definitely is. But if one gets a little deeper and goes into more detail and tries to draw on someone else's experiences, I would say that it is not detrimental. You should have heard them out loud. And you should have seen old Campbell's face. Coming from me.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know what the other was talking about, really. I was thinking.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was going to talk about. Mm. I ain't got a clue. But it just shows, and I switch on all these blooming things up there, and those little cells, you know.
Yeah.
And they got all little things, opened all the doors that were any good.
Mm.
I said, now, I don't want to waste your time. You've probably been on this a long time. I said, but if I give you some experience of a well-known runner and someone of world renown as well, combined, perhaps, I said, it'll give you food for thought. Now, I said, the world-renowned runner that I'm going to quote is, and it's known then, you see, is no less than W.G. George, the mile champion of the world, undisputed for 18 years. Now, that fella was the coach of a lesser-known, but reasonably well-known locally, runner. And when that runner didn't do too well on anything at all, and he went to W.G., and that's what he should do about it, he said, my lad, a pint of beer is the finest thing you can have. No wonder they. And that was true.
Mm.
W. George and I was the gink.
Yeah.
That's right. He said, if ever you feel goose tail, anything like that, I didn't tell you to go drinking all the time.
No.
I didn't go into details. You've seen the chief ERA. They closed the meeting. He won. Well, cause my weight went more than theirs, you see, because I was the only one there in the position to speak on that subject. Well, what do you know, I've got that blooming chief. I said, what do you mean by bringing me up like that? Well, he said, I'm sorry, George, if I made you tell a lie. I said, I wasn't lying. He said, what? He said, we all thought you were. The captain thought I was. Well, when I went on watch that night, I think I was on late watch on a quarter deck. But I said, last night at the debating society, what made you think that up? I said, I didn't have to think it up. I said, when you've done a thing, experienced a thing, you don't have to think it up. It's here, isn't it? Talk down to me. You know, some people talk down to people, don't they? He didn't talk down to me. He talked to me just as Bertoft.
Yeah.
And I can tell if they're talking down.
Yes.
And
anyway, he said, Bert, up, I don't
want to show. Yes. I said, what is it, sir? He said, next week we're having another debating society, and he said, I want you there. I said, well, I think you'll start too early for me because I'm in training. Well, he says, can't you put off? I said, no, sir. I said, I can't put off training. I said, even if you stop my leave to make me do it, I said, I wouldn't do anything else. Because if you stop my leave, I'd train on the forecastle. I did. I used to jump all over the cables and things like that.
Yeah.
I said, no, my priority now is training. I'm training for the Navy Championship. Mm. I am the Navy Champion. I want to retain it, not only for my sake, for the sake of Major HMS Tiger. Mm. I had an HMS Tiger team, and we had Tigers on long. Oh, I went to town on everything I did. I didn't do anything by heart. Well, you see, it's simply this, that if you come to our debating society next week, you can have any subject you like, and you can take which side you want. Because I know you win, you can have it. This from a captain, a president. I said, well, I think I'd rather not. I said, I don't want to get mixed up in it. I said, and truthfully, I said, I want to concentrate physically and mentally on my running at the present time. I said, I don't mind the debating society. That's the only time I ever went up on this Starbuck site to listen to this. And I didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to be so presumptive that I would take a title and I'd... For devilment, I'd have took the wrong one, purposely, you know, to fight, because there's no fun in me.
Yeah, it's fine.
There's no fun to me in taking a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't imagine myself taking the side of that drinking was detrimental to it, because to any normal thinking person, it's obvious, isn't it?
Yes.
Although I'm on the other side. But a clever debater would have fought my father, you see.
Yes.
They'd gone on. And then the most I could have done would have said, what I was only advised by WG to do this when I felt stale, things like that.
Yeah.
But then I would have built it up to show that it was advantageous.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
That little bit of alcohol gets into the blood, and it's sufficient to get the red corpuscles,
which is the
part that gives you the energy part of it, the oxygen, that is the oxygen through the body. The white corpuscles have nothing to do with that part of it. And by so doing, I've only just thought of that now, but I probably would have done that.
Yeah.
Now, that's that part. Now, you've seen that book. Now, Sinfield, not to be... To get him a prize. He must have been a wonderful PO.
Spear,
again. He must have been a you're a nice chap.
Yeah.
He was the gunnery for your class, chap.
There were about 1,000 boys there, and that, look, it's 212
class, yes.
See? Mm. Now, we were split up into those numbers, and we stayed on our gunnery with that instructor until that rifle, he probably concentrated on that. Let's look at him. Oh, he's here again. Now, that's the field gun one. I'm on there, I'm down there. Breaking all rules of the Navy, hat on the back of the nut. I was the champion wheel runner at the barracks. They couldn't touch me. Got one of those wheels in my hand, they couldn't catch me. Because the wheel pushed me as well then, you know. It pulled me when I got it going.
Yeah.
We saw racers with wheels, you know.
Yes.
I was a wheelman anyway.
Mm.
There's our gun screw. The old 12-pounder, you know. Same as yours up in Olympia.
Yeah.
We were only kids, you know.
Yeah, only 16 year olds, 17.
Oh, yes, that's all we were there. Oh, a healthy crowd, though, we were.
Yeah.
Well, let's see if I can find that lad who boxed with me. I think he was in my class all the time. Well, I think that was the chap at the end, that tall fella. I know it was the tallest fella we had in the class. I'm sorry I didn't get that boxing thing, because I lost the damn thing. I didn't hit me end a fortnight ago, but I couldn't do it. Now, that's the Ganges 2 itself,
the
ship. It's not there now.
Yes.
It's gone. It's broken up, I think. Now, when you'd done your training
in
the Shotley there...
You went on board.
You went on board there, if you were good enough.
Yeah.
But to go on there, you had to pass out all the things, everything, swimming and all the rot, you see.
Yeah.
now, that's actually on it when I was doing boat drill. That's just pulling the boat up, boat somewhere over here. Now, this is a point that is not generally right on the back, and I didn't do it there. What is not generally known nowadays and couldn't possibly happen nowadays. Now, you see those boats on the falls there, aren't there?
Yes.
Now, a PO used to come along here with a stonicky. You know what a stonicky is?
Yes.
Well, I used to make them.
Beat yourself with.
Oh, yeah, you beat yourself with.
And some people are.
They're born that way, aren't they? And some get like it. Well, he used to come along here, look, and he used to bash every other boy. You know, you're coming along here, boosh! And then you wait for it, you cringe up, wait for it. No, he didn't. It's the other one. Oh, that's lovely. But you didn't know another bloke coming on.
Well, he did have the one.
that happened again. Oh, it's a terrible ship. Oh, they did. They really hardened you up. That's before you actually went on the seagoing ship, which was the Eger in that case.
That's a good one. I've not seen a good one.
Oh, that's very good. To say that was taken in 12 and 13 types, you know.
Yes.
Very clear, isn't it? Because they didn't have photography good.
Sight blurring in the middle, but it's because the jet moved.
Yes. Well, it's dark. You see, there's awnings over here. Not good, is it?
No, it's not at all. It's
photography at that time.
I mean, you do it by flash now. It would be easy.
Oh, yes. Oh, right up to date now. Well, they wouldn't dream of doing it underneath there.
No.
And that was the boat pier. That's where we did our first boat training. I nearly got killed there because we wound them up with a winch. And somebody let the two lads on there and let the winds go and it hit me on top of the nook. And I had 16 stitches put in my head. That's how I joined the Navy. That's where they do their first training.
Well, their first training.
I think they will do that now. I think that will be there still. Shortly.
I think it probably is, actually. Yes, I haven't been there.
Yeah. I've got one little story on this one. Now, that's a swimming bath, you see. Now, I found out, you all had to pass out the swimming. Now, see that test? It's the thing hanging on it, wrapping round him, you see?
Mm.
Well, you had to do one length of the bath, you had to jump up. This end, I think. It's 10 foot up here. You had to have a duck suit on like that, as you see. A duck suit on, and you swim one length of the duck suit like that. And I liked swimming, so I was a proper water rat up in Yorkshire, you know. I went down there, I saw the instructor at the side, and there was another bloke at the other side there. I looked up and like this, and I was struggling. I could swim that length of the back and back again underneath the water, easily. And when he went looking, I swam like Billy Oyster, you see. And this went on for 3 weeks. Of course, if you went down, you go down the first day and you passed out and did that, you've gone to draw off, finish I didn't want to finish. But, to talk about the good hardings, and when I went in for boxing proper, I went down there, and the third week, I didn't dive in. I didn't dive in. I was a good diver, too. Oh, I learnt diving. That's how I learnt to swim, by diving underneath the water. And I couldn't swim properly, so I swam underneath. It's easier in some ways. And I just slipped into there, you know, and I was swimming along there like that, kicked over, and I was swimming back again. I didn't know that one of these guys were watching me. When he got there, he got a blooming great broom, and he whacked me on the nut. Oh, and then he put me out. Oh, so that's it, is it? If you can swim two lengths underneath there, you can swim one length on top in a duck suit. you knocked her out of me. And so my swimming days were over. Yeah, that finished the swimming. I only had 3 weeks of it. Oh, I'd have been there tonight, they'd let me. And that's my first old croc. That's old Edgar.
Yes.
We had the Edgar and the Endymion working. Oh, incidentally, Mr. Hill, Lieutenant Hill, whichever you call him, he was on the Endymion.
Because
Endymion were working from Devonport.
Devonport, yes.
And this was for this end, you see. For Pompey on that. And, coal ships, you know. Well, that was interesting, too. Now, I went down there. Now, I don't know anything about Navy today, but every boy, seaman boy, had to do 6 weeks stokehold training.
Yes.
Right. I went down to stokehold, and they didn't know, being a little lad as well, they didn't know that I could use a shovel. But with my father, it taught me how to use a shovel in the moulding, because he would shovel about 3 tonne of sand a day, you see. And so the chief stoker in charge of the boys said, well, I'm coming up. And he said, you won't be able to manage it. I said, what? Because in proportion, see, say I was standing, the fire hole was up there. Well, it was higher than my head. The fire hole was, where they called it to go. It says in naval language, either so and so are you going. I'm going to get gobbled in that hole. I says, you have to go home, sir, you know, even down there. I said, that's all right, sir. I says, show me the shovel. When he showed me the shovel, oh, God, blimey, size 8, they called it. Oh, a shovel like this.
Yeah.
Blimey, half a ton of blooming coal in. He said, that's a shovel. He said, it'll fit in that hole. There's not much spare either side. He says, and this is how you do it. You put it in like that and turn it on the right. Or turn it on the left, and you flip it. There's nothing. I've done that with sand.
Mm.
To mix sand, you see.
Yeah.
They don't know what everybody else knows, do they? Mm. And I never forgot a thing I did. And he said, when it came to my turn, he said, come on there. He said, waste that blooming time. He says, get out that shovel. Oh, there were devils, you know, down there. Because you've got to go in what we call the smudge, in the trimming, in the bunkers. Mm. Murder in there. I went down there. He said, right away, sir, number 2 boiler. So I don't get the rummy steam up and get on there. Well, it's at sea, you know, real, there's no skyline. It wasn't a station zone, it's real stuff. I said, right up. I said, right. I said, just one thing, sir. What's that? You know, Oliver Twist, dear, ask a question. I did too, I was always asking questions. I said, would you just show me one shovelful? I just wanted to get that quick, just how he did it. All right, then, you know, very reluctant. Nobody else had ever asked him. So he got the shovel. Did you find the place?
No.
Yeah. Got the shovel, you see, and he showed me just how... I wanted to get the flick, because the lads were making a terrible mess. They'd never handle a shovel in their lives. Yeah. But I'd been shoveling, I had a shovel, but never had a shovel that size. Yes. Size 8, you see. Mm. And so I got it in, when it did that, I got in there, and I put it right up here, and right above my head, in there. And he says, you so-and-so, you've done this before. I said, I've never done this before. I said, I've used a shovel before. I said, I've been used to shoveling 3 tons of hot sand and spreading it out. Why, that's so-and-so, so-and-so. Oh, I can't repeat what he said. Didn't you tell me? I said, you never asked. Oh,
that's the one. I give him a remark.
Oh, it's worth a dagger, isn't it? That's worth a dagger, isn't it? You never asked. And to a chief PO.
Go on.
Oh, a chief PO in the Navy. Oh, blimey, worse than the blooming sergeant in the German army. Oh, Feldwebel. Oh, Feldwebel. In the Deutsche Army. Oh, my goodness me. Well, that was that much. Mm-hmm. And then he said, well, I don't want you down here anymore. That's all we're only doing it for that. So he said, you can go and report to the engineer office up top. Well, the engineer office, there was a lieutenant engineer in there. He said, what do you come for? I said, the chief stoker sent me up here. He said, what for? I said, I don't know, sir. Well, he says, you better go in the storeroom then. I said, well, where's that? Down about a couple of legs down. So I went in there as a chief. We call them chief stokers. They don't make any. We know posh names in those days. Chief stoker in charge. What do you want? Well, so I've been sent out. An engineer lieutenant sent me down here. He said, I've got to work in here. I said, no. Oh, get behind there, sir, and get all those tools up there. And when the tiffies and all these come in here, said they asked for this and joint. Well, I did know something about tools, but the tools I'd never seen before. Mm-hmm. I said, well, if you don't mind, I'd just like to learn some of these so I can help you out a little bit better. And something to learn, that's all I want. I just study, you see. And they've got a book about these. Well, you must have a stock book. She said, yeah, there's here. And of course, nothing to tell you what it was, but there's the names. Yeah. I got used to some of the names. Because there were some intricate things that tiffies might want, you know. And I looked on this. I've been there 2 days. I was doing all the serving. The chief sat down there, been reading books. He didn't know it, though. It was when engineer commander came and saw him. And not only that, I didn't know either, that the engineer commander were just along the alleyway there, watching all these tiffies, and mostly tiffies. Mm. Oh, of course, some of the sailors were allowed, but if they were doing, working with anybody, but tiffies chiefly.
Tiffies are the people who want the sort of tools.
And we didn't know this engineer commander, was there, watching all this. There's a little skim shank, a sailor skim shank over there. What was I was still only a boy. And I was serving all these things. Oh, and it's a sign. I saw they signed all right. Business was with me. And they'd sign everything, so not doing that. Then when the last tiffy had gone, which only lasted about half an hour, I got all the tools out. And he said, oh, what's your name? I said, Berthoff, sir. Hmm? What are you, a seaman? No badges, nothing. Yes, sir. Boy seaman. Oh. You done this job before? No, sir. What do you know about tools, sir? Only what I've learnt in here. How long have you been here? 2 days, sir. Could it get worse? I mean, it seems so daft, didn't it? But I can learn quickly from a book. And, but what do you can see the blooming chief PO. I don't know what rubbish he was reading. He just said, alongside all the stacks of tools, you know, where they were all laid up nice and neat. Everything was per navy, of course, like that. Chief? Oh, blimey, and he lost his trousers. Well, he came, yes, sir, no, sir, 3 bags full, everything like that. No. How's this bird of getting on? All right, sir. Yes, so it seems. Been serving all the blooming lot out. And, cut a long story short, I'd been there about another 2 days, and I was sent for in the engineer captain's cabin. Oh, blimey. If he'd been the blooming commander, seaman commander, been a different thing. Mm. Engineer would run me. Oh, he says, I've been thinking things over. Would you like to turn over to the stoker's bench? Oh, no, I said, I don't want to turn over. Oh, he says, you won't be on the stoker's. He says, we want people on the... He says, you were like kind of storeman and work out the things like that. I said, no. I said, I didn't want to work down there, no fresh air down there. It's all electric light. Ooh, didn't want that. But he said, I would like you to... He tried to persuade me to turn over. I'd never known that before. Mm. A seaman boy asked by the commander, engineer commander, to turn over. Mm. It had to be called Stoker's Bench then, you see.
Yes.
But it appears that if I'd have turned over... Mm. I could have done the same there as I nearly had the chance to get in the wardroom on the seaman's bench, you see.
Yes, you could have come a mechanician.
Yes, in there. But you see, why I didn't get in the wardroom was in the middle of our course, a strike broke out in Scotland, and being as they'd reduced the navy so much just after the war, 1918-19, you see, that they stripped the barracks and I had to go as well. And they sent to the commander in charge up in Glasgow, I think it was then, that I could come down and take my examination if I like. But, well, you can't go up there. I was up there about 2 or 3 months. Well, I wasn't keyed up for examination. You won't go straight from the classroom
straight into it.
I said I couldn't come unless I had a resume, which would be, I knew I wouldn't get. And by that time, I'd been thinking things out. I had time up there in Scotland, and I got on all right with the strikers. I got all right with everybody. I was in the striker's house having supper when we'd been there a week. Funny, yeah. I speak Scotch, I'm in Scotland, you know. Oh, I came to Scotland, fine. Oh, they're wonderful. I'd have run down everywhere I've been. And do you know why? They had Scotch soldiers up there, and they were riots. And when they send the sailors up there, we got on wonderful.
Yes.
The Navy, we got on wonderful. Mm. I've been on pit strikes up in Newcomnock. And they were doing all kinds of things with the soldiers there. And the Scotch soldiers, too, in Scotland.
Mm.
When the Navy went up there, they were all wide round, you know. And they were around there. What are you doing tonight, mate? That's a Scotty to us. We don't know. Well, we've got some nice supper at home, you know, if you can eat Scotch grub. Yeah, we were all going out to supper up there, Newcomnock. The pit strike.
Yeah.
And they were going to burn the pit down before we went.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny?
Mm.
Well, there's the Duncan. That's the first gunnery ship I went on. And you heard tiddly sailors. I was a tiddly sailor. Did everything.
Chap.
Oh, he's a signal boy.
Mm.
We're the same age, you see. And we chum together on the ships. We're on gunnery ships. On 2 gunnery ships together, you see. And we had a lot of interests alike. He was a student chap. I liked him. He liked books and things. And although I hadn't taken on to signals on that, he was a very good signaller. Oh, he became a yeoman and all that kind of business, you see. I knew a lot of the yeoman signals.
Yeah. It's a good photo, then.
Yeah, that's taken in Malta, 1915, on our way out there. Now, this is when I was on the Tiger. I was in charge. This is all my boys, an ordinary seaman of the Tiger there. That's on Weymouth. I was taking them for a run on Weymouth. I was giving them all their destruction.
Yeah.
That little skimshank, that's him over there.
Yeah, I've seen him before somewhere.
Oh, I lived a life there. You know. I could do anything. Captain sent for me several times. You know, Vertovich says, you're an unmixed blessing. You want leave for this weekend, you want leave for next weekend, and then we get our name in the paper, Leighton Seaman Bertoff the Tiger, Navy champion. He says, well, I don't know what to do. Oh, yes, it, 3 days leave. Oh. I always got it.
Yeah.
Now, that's a real lower deck one. I thought you'd like to see that one. That's on the Observer. That's when I came, when I went up to the Arctic and on the Russian patrol and everything there. I dressed really as a sailor there. Sea boots and everything.
Yeah. Sorry, which is you? Yeah. Oh, there. So yeah.
That's a good-looking bloke.
Yeah.
Oh, I enjoyed on that ship. No, I volunteered.
What was the Observer? She was a
destroyer.
Destroyer.
Yes. And our captain was a German, von Schoen. The finest British I've ever met.
Really?
Yeah. And every time a submarine was spotted, and we weren't on patrol duties, this devil, he always volunteered. He wanted to prove so much that he was British. He volunteered.
Yes.
That so-and-so German up there. Yeah, we were always out. Always out on it. I nearly got court-martialed coming out of Newcastle with you. I've been in every blooming dock in Newcastle. I've been in every dockside on the Clyde.
Yeah.
And we were coming out of Newcastle, and I had a foremost gun. And we were told, definitely told, the skipper, Ronnie, his lieutenant commander, he said, now, if a submarine periscope is sighted, it's for to be German. Everything is clear, dear British. It's for to be a German. And we went out there. He said, must be reported at once. There'd be no chance at all to get us first. We went on there, and I've probably been steaming about 3 hours. We're on the top. A gun's crew on watch, you know, dead on watch. And I saw a submarine. And I did the thing that nobody in the world would ever do. Only mugs would ever do a thing like that. I fired. Oh, we're loaded, you know. No skylarking about it. First, God, blimey. He went raving mad up there. But it proved it afterwards that it was a German submarine. Because another destroyer saw it. Afterwards. And I fired this one. I sent him down, though. I hadn't sunk him, apparently. I may have caught his periscope. If you catch the periscope, it's bad because you've got to come higher then.
Pick
it out.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
They have that. And, I thought, blimey, it's sells or a medal, it was neither. But I was a good shot, though.
Yeah.
With a 4-inch. Yes, I was on the foremost gun there. We saw him first, you see, followed. Which is terrible. Sometimes you couldn't, if it was rough, you couldn't do it. Because it went right over, it went right over the bridge.
Yes.
Well, that's a real lower deck one.
That's a very good film.
Oh, yes. Taken by somebody local on board, you see, that one.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a good ship, the old Observer. You know what our badge was?
No.
A submarine. A mermaid like this, looking for a submarine. I said, blimey, that's old von Schoen had that done.
Yeah.
You know, that for a lot, I used to see him down, I used to go down aft. You know, they have a tiny little cabin. And every night, if we went to sea, he was down there praying. He was. Oh, he's a Bible thumper. But he's a wonderful Britisher. You know nothing about it. Von Schoen. Yeah. The name you get in. It's what I make of them, I suppose. But you don't miss a chance, do you? I would have been a damn right about that time. Yeah. I didn't care about anybody in the world there. And with a cook, you know, on a destroyer, everybody has got gun stations.
Yes.
Except the stokers below on watch. Stokers off watch have a gun station.
Yes.
We sighted a submarine somewhere up in the Arctic. Oh, it was cold.